Welcome to Monday's show. A little bit more serious at the first part of the show. We've got a lot of news to get to, as much news as we can, and then we'll kind of get to our normal show. Unfortunately, we had a school shooting in Nashville, and I know the details are constantly emerging, and so stuff I may tell you now, even though this happened this morning, might not be true later tonight. So just bear that in mind. I'm giving you what I have. Three adults, three students, unfortunately, killed, and the shooter. And all we know right now is that it's a 28-year-old female that was the shooter, which is rather unusual in school shootings. But we'll give you what we can while we can throughout this show. And then we're going to get into our normal stuff a little bit later, but just want to go through that. Also, want to do a shout out to one of our listeners who has a birthday today.
Mm-hmm.
Who has a birthday today?
Happy birthday, Robin. I saw in the comments of the morning show that Davey was wishing you a happy birthday. Yep. So we wanted to do the same.
Yeah. If Davey's wrong, we're wrong, but we took our lead from Davey.
Yes.
So, yes, we did. But
Davey,
happy birthday.
My source.
All right. Hebert Kresge & Associates, they're a full service local CPA firm with a team of skilled professionals dedicated to providing top levels of service in the areas of tax compliance and planning for businesses, estates, individuals, and trusts. They also can do audits, reviews, and other accounting services. If you need your business evaluated for a sale, they can do that. They do forensic analysis and litigation support. Call Bill and Ken at 460-0747 or visit them online at HebertKrescheCPA.com.
I have A to Z. They offer free estimates and have been serving St. John's County for over 20 years in the construction industry. A to Z offers painted metal roofs for saltwater area homes with warranties for up to 25 years. A to Z offers shingle roofs with warranties for up to 50 years. They also install tile roofing, cedar shake shingles, designer roofing, and flat roof coverings. Recent job photos and material descriptions can be seen at A to Z Roofing and Waterproofing.com. Thank you, A to Z. We also have Powell Heating and Air Conditioning. I don't know about you, but it was rather warm in my area the past 2 days, so we definitely needed that AC. Their dedication to customer service has been evident in everything that they do from the moment they answer your call until the time they leave your home. They're working to make you comfortable and confident about the care and service you receive from Powell with their fleet of 10-plus trucks, 15,000-square-foot warehouse stocked with parts and equipment. They are ready to serve you around the clock. They service all heating and air conditioning brands. They have emergency service, always open, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, including nights and weekends. They are locally owned for over 36 years. Give Powell Heating and Air Conditioning a call for all of your heating and air conditioning needs.
All right, and SolarStick, they were established in 2006. They're a local portable power company, proudly committed to American manufacturing, constant innovation, and creating jobs right here in St. Augustine, Florida. SolarStick's focus on providing solutions for self-sufficiency helps users all over the world complete missions and save lives. SolarStick, changing lives, saving lives, and reviving American manufacturing right here in the nation's oldest city. Gosh, I hate it when an old guy gets around computers and equipment and
boomer
you
and
just
technology.
Boomer technology this thing. All kinds of crazy stuff. All right. So on a more serious mm-hmm. note, we do have the school shooting. It was in Nashville or just outside of Nashville. Still waiting on a lot of details. I kind of been trying to follow it all day long since about noon when I got a chance to take a look at it. Still waiting for a lot of details. Obviously, with all of these, this is a horrible, horrible tragedy.
Absolutely.
All kinds of information that came out early that wasn't true information. That's why I'm reluctant to do a lot on this today because mm-hmm. there'll be more tonight.
Yeah.
And probably tomorrow morning. And I don't want to get it wrong other than to say I feel horribly sorry for all of those parents in the Nashville area. And I have friends in Nashville who have
it's
kids in schools like this. And this is just a devastating thing for all of them to deal with.
Absolutely.
It's awful. So
the shooting was at a private Christian school in Nashville. Mm-hmm. The shooter is reported to be a 20-year-old female. 28-year-old yep. female. They were engaged by the police and they were killed on site.
And this happened within like 20 minutes. So apparently because it's a Christian school, there was no resource officer there,
mm-hmm.
which I think they should change. Right? I mean, yeah. there's resource officers at the local Christian schools mm-hmm. here. Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's absolutely important because it doesn't matter where the kids are in school. Right now, they're all in danger of somebody doing this. And one of the stories was even that the person went to a different school, couldn't get in because the doors were locked, and ended up at this school. Mm-hmm. Don't know if that's true or not. Don't know if that's how that is. And they broke into the school, right? There wasn't a door open. They broke a window and got into the school. So we'll find out if all that is true. That really doesn't matter. There's, I mean, in the sense of right now, you have this terrible tragedy for three families, and also the families of the teachers as well. Mm-hmm. So just a horrible, horrible thing to have to deal with. And I think the police reacted, like I said, within 20 plus minutes.
Yeah.
They were there and had completely taken care of the situation. So unlike the shooting in Uvalde, Texas, where the police waited and
well,
did
they were
not
there
go,
and they didn't do anything.
That's correct. The police in Nashville are to be commended for taking swift action and mm-hmm. getting there as quickly as they could.
They got the first call at 10:13 and the shooter was stopped by 10:27. So
that's remarkably quick.
That is a very fast response time to have the entire situation resolved. Mm-hmm. This is unusual for a lot of reasons. You pointed out it's not common for this type of event to take place with a female shooter. It's also, my understanding is school shootings are typically people closer to the age of the people in the school. So either a student at the school, a recent student at the school, mm-hmm. or someone that has.
If you were building a profile and you were looking for somebody that potentially could do it, that's the profile you would look
for. So it's unusual to me. They're not reporting that I've seen on any close tie with this school. So it's just strange, the age of the shooter as well. Mm-hmm. And it's completely tragic and horrible, and it just breaks my heart and makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
It's this type of event is why I'm a homeschool parent.
So I've got information coming out of Nashville. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to share it because it's not official yet, but I think there's going to be more to the story. So,
yeah.
And it's going to be, it will be interesting how the media handles the story. Because mm-hmm. I think it's going to have a couple of turns that are abnormal for this type of situation. Because there's a narrative, right, when this happens that it's a certain type of person. And I don't know mm-hmm. that this narrative is going to fall that way.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see how all of that goes and how that happens and rolls out. And again, hearts and prayers out to the families
absolutely.
Of those that were lost. And, you know, it's not just that. It's all the people that were first responders had to go in and deal and see those scenes. Because they've got to deal with that tragedy for the rest of their life as well.
Absolutely. There's ripple effects to these kinds of tragedies. Obviously, the people who were immediately affected, the victims and the families of the victims, mm-hmm. you know, are going to bear the biggest brunt of this. But like you say, the first responders, the doctors who are treating these patients, I mean, there's an entire population of people that are now involved in this horrific event that also need our prayers.
Yeah, their lives will be altered because of this. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, wanted to go through that and get that done. Yeah, we're going to go on and do our normal show because we're not the news show. We don't do that all the time. We're more for entertainment, but it is the biggest story of the day. If something else breaks and we feel like we have concrete news to share with you, we will. Mm-hmm. But that's the, wow. I'm afraid to go on the air tomorrow. This is 2 days in a row that we go on the air. And of course, this one happened a little bit earlier in the day, but that we're dealing with those kind of things. So again, if you see anything else, just be responsible typing in the comments. That's all I'm going to say. You guys are always great, mm-hmm. but just be responsible. Just because we see something doesn't mean that it's necessarily true right away. Mm-hmm. So
my question to you is that in recent years when there's been an event like this, I guess prior to 2 years ago, mm-hmm. then as soon as the name was known, the name would be out there.
Yes.
And everyone would be, you know, sleuthing on social media, trying to figure out who mm-hmm. this person is mm-hmm. and what could have caused this and their motivations. But in the past 2 years, there's really been a movement to kind of keep the shooter's name out of the headlines and not make the shooter the story. Really.
Yes.
And so my question to you is just, how do you feel about that?
I think that's the way to handle it.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I was talking to somebody, a friend who lives in Nashville today. And the thing that's tragic about this is some of these shooters, not all, but some do it for the notoriety. Mm-hmm. Right. And when you give them that notoriety and you give them those headlines and you talk about them, then they're accomplishing a goal at the sacrifice of young people that have been killed or injured due to their crazy wild desire. What I have the hardest time figuring out is when I grew up and I'm in my mid-50s, you were taught to protect the weakest and the most vulnerable, right? That was your job, and that's what you were taught to do, and you looked after those that needed help. And it seems like that when these school shootings turned, and I guess it started about Columbine, right? All of a sudden, the weakest and the smallest among us have become the biggest targets.
Yeah.
And I find that appalling. I mean, as a person, I just find that absolutely appalling.
So. I was in high school when Columbine happened. And so that was definitely one of those, you know, you remember what life was like before and after. It's one of those keystone moments that sort of changes the trajectory of how you process information. And the way Columbine was handled definitely seems to have inspired people to want people that are damaged and want to hurt others. It's inspired a method to get what they want.
And the problem is, I don't think any of these are solvable with one thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
I don't, there's people that say, hey, it should be gun control. You take all the guns away and people have committed mass crimes with trucks and vehicles and knives and a whole host of other things.
Explosives,
all kinds of things, right? So, you know, some of it is people taking threats seriously. Some of it is the mental health issues that we're dealing with today. And I think our society, there's more mental health problems within our society today than ever before. Some of it due to platforms like the one we're on right now, right? That drive that. I mean, you know, I don't think anybody in the news media wants to cover a story like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
However, when a story like this happens, it drives people to go find out what's going on, and it drives viewership to that. So the unintended consequences, you know, they have a higher viewership rating than you would normally have if there's a day when nothing bad is happening. And I say that, right, the same is true of what happened last weekend with the tornadoes in Mississippi. People are going to tune in and watch because they want to find out what that is. That's just the natural reaction. But unfortunately, that drives some of our news cycle. And if it's constantly from one tragedy to another, to another, to another, you know, there's so many people that I know that just go, I don't watch the news anymore.
Yeah.
They have checked out. They go, I'm done watching it. I don't need to watch it because I know every day there's more bad news and I just don't want to live that way anymore.
Yeah.
And I think the media does a horrible job of portraying good news, right? They just don't give you enough good news. Everyone's like, oh, at the end of our 29 minutes of bad news, we're going to tell you a heartwarming story to send you on your way for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
The heartwarming story could have been much earlier and we could have had four or five of them, which, you know, people would go, gosh, there's a lot of good people out there. So I think it makes everyone more cynical, which doesn't help us as a society. So
and even when there are good stories, I feel like a lot of times media and social media will treat it cynically. And so it's not even uplifting. It's twisted and contorted to be something divisive. And if you thought this was good, then that makes you X, Y, Z, and that's why you're a bad person.
Yeah. We acknowledge that so-and-so did such and such. And while that helped this group of people, it harmed this other group.
Did you hear the Mr. Beast controversy?
No. What is Mr. Beast and what is the controversy?
Mr. Beast is one of the most successful YouTubers. I believe he was also very successful on Twitch. Well, he's grown to have this enormous platform. And so he was able to finance surgeries for people around the world. He learned that a huge percentage of people who are visually impaired are blind because of a preventable cause that can be solved with a 15-minute procedure. It's just a matter of whether they can afford that procedure.
Okay.
And so he paid for that procedure for 1,000 people around the globe. He went to multiple countries and financed these surgeries locally. And did other things to help these families in the recuperation process. And a video went out about that work. And of course, he's getting accolades for this is an amazing thing for you to have done. But then immediately people twisted that story into, well, he's just using this for profits, which the profits from the video went to the foundation that financed this and other charitable acts. So was money made on the video? Absolutely. But that money goes into charitable causes so he can continue doing these types of things. But that wasn't the story. It was he's exploiting poor people for profit. And then it became it's an evil capitalist system that, you know, requires a profit motive in order to give people back their sight. And so there were just all of these just really ugly and mean stories that came out. And it's like, here's an amazing story.
All my people who didn't lift a finger to help the thousand people.
And that's what a bunch of people started pointing out. Yeah. Like, how many people did you finance to help?
How many people did you help? And I don't care how you did it from a capitalist side or not. Mm-hmm. It takes money to be able to do these things. Yeah. And if you raise money and you spend that money on there, then that's great for you. Yeah. Right? I go back to what I have said here. I've said it multiple times over this weekend, over the last weekend, and talking with people. Mm-hmm. It's a comment that Gutfeld made several weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Social media has become today's version of the bathroom wall when we were kids. You write stuff and type stuff. Mm-hmm. No one knows you did it. You don't have to take any responsibility for it, but it's out there in the public domain. Yeah. It used to be in a bathroom. Mm-hmm. Now it's out on Twitter or Facebook or what any of these other TikTok, whatever platform you want to be on. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's just to me, I don't know when we're going to reach peak social media, but I don't think it's far. Yeah. I honestly don't think it's far before people just come down. And the other, there's all kinds of studies on how people are, using the platform in a negative way, mm-hmm. and how the platforms themselves are trying to are negatively impacting. Mm-hmm. You have lots of studies that show how bad some of these social media platforms are for young children, mm-hmm. And how addictive they are.
And that the platforms themselves know that. Mm-hmm. And they exploit those addictive properties because it keeps eyeballs on their service.
So for me, the thing that's interesting in that is all of these social media companies have huge bank accounts. Mm-hmm. And that's usually about the time the lawyers go, there's a lot of money there. We should file a class action. I don't know who the first lawyers are going to be. Mm-hmm. This could be very much like the tobacco suits mm-hmm. of the early 90s.
Yeah.
Social media may survive, but may not survive in the same mold that it is now. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which dating app it was, but they could go by profiling and they could put the most attractive members of a sex mm-hmm. where you could see what, according to the algorithms, were the most attractive members. Mm-hmm. They were set so that it was random. Mm-hmm. So you had to stay on the app longer. The longer you were on the app, the more uses they got, the more this. And then also someone said, if you put your own profile in and you were unattractive, mm-hmm. they weren't going to give you attractive matches, mm-hmm. which there's an algorithm for all of that.
What's funny is what I got my degree in mm-hmm. is all about reinforcement schedules. And that's what that is.
Yeah.
That is figuring out. So I could have gone to the dark side and I could have worked in gambling and social media had I wanted to. I have the qualifications for it so that I could design those systems because there's a whole psychology to it. If you're gambling, if your machine is just constantly paying out, mm-hmm. then there's going to come a point where you've won way more than you expected to win to begin with. And so you just walk away and you stop spending your money. But there's also a point where if you lose too much, then there's no point in staying here anymore.
Yep.
So the sweet spot is to win just enough that wets your whistle and keeps you actively there gambling, but you have to lose a certain amount also so that it's a fight and you're in a battle that you feel like you can win.
You,
that's what social media is.
You just described what one of the people that invented one of these dating apps. Mm-hmm. Right? They went back to the pigeon in the cage.
Yeah.
Pecking on the dot. Mm-hmm. So if the chicken pecked on the dot and nothing came out, the chicken quit pecking on the dot. Mm-hmm. If the chicken pecked on the dot and food always came out,
they gave up.
They would just satiated. Go when they needed to, right? If it pecked on the dot and occasionally something came out, then it pecked on the dot even more. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what social media is doing to people today. It is programming them. Yeah, you don't want to look at that, but you're going to keep looking because you don't want to look away yet because you haven't found what we know you want to look for. Mm-hmm. So here it is. So, yeah, I think it's It's tough. I think the bullying aspect is tough. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bullying that's going on. I think it's across all socioeconomic and gender backgrounds. But for some reason, the group that's most adversely affected right now is young white girls. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say elementary because too many of these kids have phones at that level. But at a middle school, high school, and college level, they're the ones most adversely affected.
It's young girls, particularly. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with the different motivations of, I know this is controversial, but girls have different motivations than boys. And they have different things that drive their interest. And girls are more people focused, and they're more reinforced by tight-knit relationships. And so mm-hmm. social media is a perfect manipulation tool for females in particular, but especially young children, because their brains aren't developed enough to know the difference between these parasocial relationships, these online relationships mm-hmm. that you feel like are really close and tight, but probably aren't, and you probably wouldn't spend time together in person if you had the option. But because it's online and you have this artificial construct of this relationship, it feels really tight and important. So those parasocial relationships are particularly dangerous. Mm-hmm. But that's also why OnlyFans is such an insidious site. And for men in particular, because it's that parasocial relationship where you feel like you're in this relationship with this person and you feel so connected to this person, but it's not real and it's not reality. And that person would never actually spend time with you in person, but they'll absolutely cash your check.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole comment of we're losing a generation that this generation doesn't know how to communicate. Mm-hmm. How to sit down and have a conversation.
Absolutely.
They know how to find anything they want on a computer or a phone, mm-hmm. but they don't know how to find inner peace, and they don't know how to communicate with people when they actually have to run into them, and they truly struggle at that. And I think, yeah, I don't know who starts the school of, there's a joke right now about becoming your parents, mm-hmm. right? And there's a whole TV series of ads,
yeah.
right? You could easily take that and portray that as kids, right? You're mm-hmm. becoming antisocial, and here's how to become. And we're gonna teach you how to become social again. I don't know who starts those schools and who starts making money at them, but there's money to be made there because mm-hmm. there's a generation that has never learned how to interact. And yes, there's disappointments in those interactions, and yes, they don't always go perfectly. But it doesn't mean you're a victim because they didn't go perfectly, or someone doesn't think the way you think. That has nothing. It's just someone else's opinion.
Yeah. And I actually talked, I was in my class with my students today, and we were joking because they cannot understand why adults text in complete sentences and why they care about spelling and proper punctuation and whether it's capitalized properly, or they just think it's so irritating that their parent will be driving and they'll be typing out a text and then they'll have to read it back to make sure it actually sounds right. And so they're just going off about how obnoxious this is that old people do this. And so I start like making the case for why mm-hmm, it's important mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and they just get increasingly frustrated and like, well, why are you going to dumb yourself down?
Well, but here's part of it too, is right. Knowing your audience that you're talking to.
Yeah.
Right. So if I'm trying to be cool and hip, which I am not, and I fully get that. I might be trying to talk in a different way so people mm-hmm. will think I'm cool and I'm hip. Lots of politicians try to do this around election cycle, and it always backfires because mm-hmm. it's not them. They're trying to pretend to be somebody that they're not, who they probably don't know who they are.
Google search Hillary Clinton. I ain't in no way tired.
Or don't forget hot sauce. I always carry yes. hot sauce with me. Highly unlikely. And right,
Kamala Harris, and yeah. I smoked weed in college listening to Tupac, even though he wasn't born yet.
And I put people in jail for doing the same thing, and they're still in jail. So
she didn't finish the sentence that way.
No, but that's exactly what happened. Right. So that's what I'm saying. So pretending not to pretend to be somebody yeah. you're not. There's lots of opportunities to do that on social media, mm-hmm. right? That's there. But anyway, I think there's an entire group that's going to find out one day there's an outside. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh, we can be outside. There's a life without phones and internet and connections. And in context, if I'm typing somebody that's my age, I want them to know that I can spell mm-hmm. and I can do that. Now, I am one of the world's worst spellers. And there are times I'm typing really quick and my contacts aren't fully focused. And there's times I just don't pay attention, right? And all of a sudden I look at something and I got to retype it.
Mike and correctly. I have a lot of grace with each other in our text messages.
And also I have a brother who's an attorney who is a pain in the ass when it comes to misspelling. So, I mean, I'll be halfway through a text with a man and I'm like, I think that's misspelled. I'll just send, right? I'm halfway through a text with him. I'm going to the dictionary. I'm going to a second dictionary to make sure the first dictionary. I'm like going for 17 checks before I hit send. And of course, right before I hit send, my thumb will hit some button and it'll add an extra character. And I'm like, gosh, now I got to hear the crap about my misspelling again.
Yeah.
I know my audience in that case. I'm checking it, right? Yeah. Amanda, I'm like, she'll be okay. She understand I meant to spell Gates in close enough. She'll be fine.
So I don't think it's just that there's a generation that isn't learning how to communicate. And this kind of ties back to what we started the show with. We're dealing with a generation that doesn't know how to find quiet. And so they don't know the restorative nature of being quiet and being bored and being able to rest. And so we have a sleep deprived generation that is full of anxiety because they're not getting enough sleep and they're not getting enough vitamin D because they're not outside. Mm-hmm. So they're not in the sun. They're not experiencing that calm from nature. And then they're also getting spoon fed all of the drama around the globe on social media.
I'm sorry.
Bobby likes your brother.
Bobby likes my brother. Bobby, I thought we were close, man. I've been getting corrected on spelling from him my entire life. Rightfully so. I have misspelled a lot of things, including my own name, Bobby.
Yeah.
So, yes.
My dad went to college at a time where you had to turn in a perfectly, like, perfectly perfect paper.
Yeah.
And the first grammatical or spelling error that was in it failed the paper. That was an immediate, your paper has been dropped. I am not reading any further. You did not proofread this paper and you're supposed to turn in perfection to me. And you did not. And so my dad was very serious about me checking. And I'm nowhere near as good as my father is. But I'm evidently annoyingly good about it when it comes to children.
Look, I was always like, hey, I got close, right? I was always better at the spoken word than the written word, which is why I struggled in journalism and wished I had gone into broadcasting. I still would have ended up here, but broadcasting is much easier for me to speak. And in fact, one of my English professors my freshman year said, your problem is you're a good speaker and you write exactly the way you speak.
Yes.
And I was like,
and that is not the way you're supposed to.
That's not how I'm supposed to do that. Mean you said I was really good at it. Yeah, but that's not how it works whenever you
meanwhile our founders were incredibly young. Most of them were home educated or self-taught, and they were incredibly eloquent speakers.
Speaking of eloquent speakers, and I'm gonna take this a couple of steps at a time, right?
All right.
So our president, Joe Biden, went out today.
Okay.
And
irony is what we're using.
Was trying, I guess, to console. And I don't know what words you can say to console anybody in a situation like this, right? I don't know.
It's a no-win situation. I don't know
what you say. Why he went out there to do it and not just console and walk away and leave it, I don't know.
Yeah.
But went out and he's got this kind of comic routine that he does about, I'm Joe Biden, I'm Jill Biden's husband, right? And he started with that, which it is a go-to for him. He's used it multiple times.
The folksy Uncle Joe act.
And then I'm here, really here for chocolate chip ice cream, right? Which doesn't, it was a fail on a lot of cases. Yeah. I just wish someone had told him, don't do that.
Yeah.
Right. And I would say this for anybody, and it's a difficult situation to go, that's just not the place to do that.
I can't imagine that was on prompter. And so I'm assuming there was something on prompter and he decided to go off prompter.
I'm going to go back to the end of the first Iron Man movie, right? Just read the note cards, Tony, right? And then you throw the note cards out. And I kind of, I felt like the president did that today. And again, I'm not a huge fan of his, but I also understand this is one of the more difficult jobs you would ever possibly have to do.
Absolutely.
Is offering those condolences. Obviously, the closer you get to the scene. Right. Mm-hmm. The police and the local representatives that are in Nashville are having the hardest time because they're having to deal with that. And like I said, the responders that had to be on scene and deal with that tragedy as it was unfolding, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's a very difficult thing. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus. I just think his handlers, whoever was in charge today, I absolutely should be taken out behind the woodshed, because they're the ones that should have said, here's what you read. Mm-hmm. You walk in, you say this, and you walk back out, yeah. right? There's no part of being folksy at that point that comes yeah. out good.
No folksy Uncle Joe.
No.
You just go out and you no. do the job, and that's the hard part of the job.
And in all honesty, right, looking back through, you know, Trump probably would have struggled in that situation, because there's no telling what he was going to say. Mm-hmm. At times, I thought he did a phenomenal job of consoling people. W, I think, would have struggled, because he struggled with pretty much all of that stuff.
I don't know. What he said after 9/11, and, you know, different set of circumstances, different number of victims, what he said after 9/11 was, I think, it hit the right note.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there have been situations like this over the years. I don't remember what Clinton said after Columbine. Just trying to think back to similar situations.
I think Obama was the most eloquent, but I think Obama's comments were generally whatever the political agenda was, you went.
It was
with that.
Somewhat charged.
You pushed that agenda, right? Sorry for the event, and I think for the most part he did a pretty good job. I don't ever remember him totally flubbing one of these, mm-hmm. right? But again, there was always an agenda attached to that.
Yeah.
And I think that's unfortunate, right? These are situations where we ought to step back. Figure out all the details before you want to attach an agenda.
Yeah.
There have been several instances where narratives have been formed and reported on and re-reported before all of a sudden the media went, oh, that's not what happened.
There are still things that are being chanted at events, at protests to this day that were false narratives that never actually occurred. There was no backing. It was a media story.
One of the early stories had the age, and I don't know, they just had the age wrong, right? It was a story that came out. They went, oh my gosh, that kind of fits one of these narratives of that's who might have done this. Yeah. And I was talking to my friend in Nashville. I said, I don't know when this breaks up. I don't know how this goes. I said, there's a media narrative that if the shooter falls within a certain parameter, mm-hmm. it will be reported ad nauseum. If mm-hmm. they do not, it will go away tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that is unfortunate, because we need to figure out what was missed in this case.
Yeah.
And in the ones I've researched, and it isn't all of them, and it's not an exhaustive research, there have been so many missed opportunities to stop this stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not seeing any additional updates that have happened since we've been on.
Yeah, I've been trying to kind of keep an eye on it, and I'm kind of in that same boat. So, all right, other news. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, you are going to put a picture on of the Sargasso seaweed that's coming across.
The Sargassum?
I found a picture today.
Oh, man.
And I didn't have a chance to get this to you before the show, but tomorrow we'll definitely have that, because it's worth looking at. It's from Noah.
All right.
And when you look at it, that's the plan. This is the hope. Yeah.
Okay. So
I didn't know if you had geography yet in your homeschooling.
Yeah. We learned the world last year.
Did you learn directions?
Yeah.
I'm just asking.
Yes, I did. That seems like a loaded question.
It does. It 100% did. It did. I apologize.
Our kids, the kids that I am teaching again this year, last year, they learned to draw the world from memory.
The best one,
a lot of time in geography.
I think one of the best things you can do with your friends is print out a map of the United States with the state borders and ask them to fill in the states.
Yeah, name the states.
Name every single state. It is absolutely hilarious, because you have people that are very intelligent, but geography is no longer taught to the level it used to be taught to. Mm-hmm. And it is so funny.
Yeah.
Pete and Troy and I took the test. I think I got 48 or 49. I had one that was good. But it was in that Rhode Island, Maryland area, Connecticut, where they're all kind of really closely grouped together. Pete was abysmal.
Yeah.
Pete was, I'm sorry. He was just, it was bad. He even missed where Utah was. He missed Utah. That was the one that for me was most striking, right?
Yeah.
They said he missed Utah. I gave it to my college age kids. It was funny to watch them struggle with it.
Yeah.
incredibly smart kids, but it's like, man, did you guys not study the geography of the United States? One of them actually made up a state name. I said, where do you get that from?
So I did that when I was in school. We had a quiz, and it was like, okay, we're going to take this quiz, and then the real test will be, you know, next week or at the end of the week, whatever. So I bring home this quiz, and I did horribly on it. It was a pop quiz, just want to see where you're at with it. But, like, the real test that is really actually going to count is going to be in X number of days. So, you know, fairly low stress for a pop quiz, because that one was, yeah, we're grading it, but it's going to be just a tiny fraction. It's not really going to affect your grade one way or the other. Instead of writing Delaware, I wrote Denmark. And that, for some reason, my dad was like, Denmark? Where do you get Denmark? Denmark's not even in this country. It's not even a state. Where did you get Denmark? And I was like, there's something rotten in the state of Denmark. And he just, like, dropped the paper and walked away. It's like, the only time she's ever heard Denmark in context was the state of Denmark.
There's something rotten in the state of Denmark. There has to be a state.
He's like, poetry doesn't count as factually accurate.
I was watching, I will not say when, it was after college with two friends, and the Swiss Family Robinson came on TV. And we're like, oh, remember this when we were kids? This movie was on, and blah, 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 blah. And the pirates, and they get shipwrecked, and all the stuff, right? I'm like, hey, you guys know where they're from, right? Neither one could name the country they were from. I felt like Jon Stewart, right, on The Daily Show. The name is in the title. Yeah. It's the Swiss Family. Amsterdam? The Swiss Family. Geneva? No!
Family of Swiss people.
They're from Switzerland. But they thought they were from, like, Sweden and other places. I'm like, Swiss! It's a Swiss! Do you not drink Swiss Miss Cocoa?
Yeah.
Do you not see the picture on the Swiss Miss Cocoa of the Swiss Alps?
Yeah.
It was just, anyway, so I've been blessed. I can look at a map of somewhere, and I have a photographic memory where I remember the map. So if you show me a map and you tell me where we're going, if we get lost, I can go, well, if we go this way and we go that way, we're going to end up roughly around here. And people are like, how did you do that? I'm like, because there's a map in my head. We're following the map in my head. The map in my head is the map that I looked at. So it's a lot of fun for me. Wherever I go, I'm always pulling up maps and looking at what's the
very acute spatial reasoning as well.
Is that what that is? I don't know what that is. I just thought it was
where you are in space and how things will change as your position changes.
I've got that, but I was never good with interpersonal relationships.
That might be a different kind of space that we need to talk about.
I was never good with that.
So I can get the Swiss Family Robinson thing, because it's kind of the same thing as my howler monkey story. Because it had just always been told howler monkey. And the name was howler monkey, and I never really processed what the individual words meant.
Yes.
It was just, and so you're so used to saying Swiss Family Robinson that you don't even think of them as individual words anymore. Yes. They're just, that's the correct grouping for that family. So I can see where that comes from.
Yes. Bobby said that would be a great Jay Leno jaywalking question. Yeah. One of the other great questions on jaywalking is, who fought in the Civil War?
Oh, my word. That one.
When people can't answer that one, I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously. All right. On a
Or what war happened in the 1860s.
Yes.
In this country, and everyone's saying the Revolutionary War. Really?
Yes. I know. Just study a little bit of our history. Just a little bit. And history doesn't start with Taylor Swift. It actually started before then.
Way before Taylor Swift.
Okay, and that's the thing. These young kids know so much stuff that is like, how is this going to help you in life, right? As I knew all the football stats of every football team when I was a kid, right? And it's not helping me. I don't remember any of it now, but I did spend some time. All right, so this is a TSA story. I'm going to try to lighten this mood till we get back into it before we do five questions. And I actually have, I think, most of the five questions. TSA has now said that peanut butter is a liquid.
Okay.
I don't know how bad the peanut butter was that they confiscated to make peanut butter a liquid. And then I also want to know how many people are trying to get peanut butter onto a plane.
Yeah.
honey, we've got a 3-hour flight to Texas. I think we're going to need 7 jars of peanut butter for that flight. First of all, they don't give you enough crackers to put peanut butter on anymore.
You can make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
But why would you? Hey, we need to get that special container so we only have 2 ounces of peanut butter on the plane. Mm-hmm. And then TSA checking for peanut butter.
So I think this is a backdoor to ban peanut butter on planes because of peanut allergies, but they don't want to make it about the allergies so that they're not othering people with allergies. Because as soon as you ban something, as soon as you ban peanut butter from any event because of peanut allergies, then people have feelings about whether peanut allergies are real or not. So this sounds to me like they're scapegoating peanut butter as a liquid to try and backdoor banning peanut butter from planes without making it about the allergies.
I don't know how this is going to go over, but if they just would ban the nuts from the planes, there'd be far less times of the police being called and having to remove people from the planes.
Women's only flights, ladies.
Well done. That's a good comeback for the direction one. Well done. Yeah, I just trying to figure out. I mean, I guess the nuts are going to be gone too. I mean, they don't give you any food anyway on the airplane.
Yeah, so they used to give you peanuts. And then it became like trail mix without peanuts because of peanut allergies.
Yeah.
I've been on an airline in the past 10 years that did still give me nuts. So not everybody cares, I guess. But, you know, it's a thing.
So Jim just tuned on. I wonder if Jim can answer the question, who fought in the Civil War?
I know that Jim can answer.
I'm pretty sure Jim can, but we're gonna give him a softball today.
Bobby, it was not the war between the states. It was the war of northern aggression.
Now, that is not true either. Do not get me started on that. Do not. There is that. Look, we go all through the Civil War stuff, and I'm not going to try to get bogged down in that. There was a question of whether or not states could leave.
Yes.
The reason they wanted to leave was the worst possible reason to want to leave.
Yes.
So you can argue that all day long, but that's the wrong reason.
Yeah. I want to fly with you too, Barbara Jean.
Yes. Men and women, along with all the kids. Jim, I'm not talking about a family reunion. I was talking about the Civil War. I didn't know he was at our last family reunion. All right. So have you ever seen anybody pulled over for peanut butter? I've seen people pulled over for all kinds of things at TSA. Never peanut butter.
I had Lysol confiscated for me before.
Mm-hmm.
I was a mom. I had Lysol in my diaper bag because there's little drop down changing stations in bathrooms, which are a huge blessing, but I've also heard like people use them for all kinds of nasty things, and so you can just Lysol it down.
How much Lysol did you bring with you? Because I mean they
sell travel cans.
Yes.
And so it was under the 3-ounce limit.
And it was still confiscated.
And it was still confiscated.
Did they just like that Lysol brand and they wanted it? I mean, I'm just asking.
They were angry about the Lysol. It was gone. I could not keep it.
The funny one for Wesley, our daughter, was traveling with her school backpack. She had her safety scissors.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, she's going to jail.
I was in high school when Columbine happened, and security in public buildings changed a great deal. So this was after the first Trade Center bombing. So I got to sing in Carnegie Hall in New York City Easter Sunday, my senior year. And so we're in New York City and we're traveling around. It's high school, big group of high school kids, and we're going on all sorts of tours. So we end up going to the Empire State Building. And at that point, I had a knife. You could fly with a knife.
You could fly with a pocket knife.
Yeah. My boyfriend gave me his knife because he didn't want me going to New York City without strong men protection, without a blade. And so I had a knife that was just barely small enough to make it on a plane. I didn't think about it being in my purse. And we're going through the security line to get to the top of the Empire State Building. And where my mom's one of the chaperones, and I kind of tap her on the shoulder and I'm like, I have a blade.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh man, I can't believe you. I was one of those, all three of my names came out, and she was very, very upset with me. But she kept it cool in the line. They didn't take it from me.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, they're going to make you go back to the hotel room. It's going to ruin everybody's chance to go to the Empire State Building. They didn't notice it was there.
I'm going to give you guys all a cruise ship hack.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to take a knife on a cruise ship.
Okay.
Okay. But sometimes you go to ports of call that might or might not be somewhat dangerous. Mm-hmm. You order steak the first night on the cruise ship. You confiscate the steak knife. Mm-hmm. They don't check you when you leave the ship.
That's right.
There's no scan or anything. You just walk off the ship. They check you when you come back. So then you throw the steak knife away on the guy, but it's not your knife, right? So you, if everyone on the cruise ship does this, there won't be any steak knives to cut the steak with on the last night. However, that's the hack on a cruise ship.
Mike Davis.
I'm just telling you the hack.
That's my grandmother's trick for getting steak knife set.
I'm not looking for the steak knife set. I'm just telling you if you have to go someplace.
We were at a restaurant. It was actually in Tennessee, I believe.
Yeah.
And they were known for their steaks. That's why we went there. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother just loved the steak knife. And my dad's panicking because his mom is about to set the example that you steal something just because you like it in a restaurant. And he's just panicking. He was like, you have to offer to buy that steak knife. And the server's like, oh, just put it in your purse. Just steal it. And my dad's like, no, she has to do this the right way.
All right. Before we get to five questions, I will say they have identified the shooter. I'm not naming the shooter. I'm not giving any details on the shooter because all that does is bad things in my mind. So anyway.
All right.
A jerk is what I will say. Someone who had issues Scum and was a jerk.
Yep. Who had mental health problems and should have taken a different path to end their trip on the spinning ball of rock in space.
Correct. Yep. All right. So, five questions.
Five questions.
The most lighthearted thing we're going to do today, I hope. Oh, my gosh, I hope. All right. So, we'll start with the lightest question. What's the biggest change in society over your lifetime? Right. So while you're thinking about that, mine is civility.
Civility.
When we were little kids, everybody had manners. And if you didn't have manners, everybody that had manners was allowed to backhand you for not having manners, thereby teaching you manners and respect for your elders. Mm-hmm. Right. Today, I think that civility is gone. Mm-hmm. I think the lack of respect for other people and other opinions is completely gone out of society. Mm-hmm. Charles Barkley, of all people, stepped on it by saying the new NBA legends have no idea what it was like before, and they expect to be treated like they're the greatest things ever. And he said, we had to earn what we had, right? Yeah. It was a different kind of timeline. It was almost like, Charles, you're a boomer, man. I just want to give you a big boomer hug from one boomer to another. But it was a valid point.
I feel like Charles Barkley's a hugger.
I don't think he is. Shaq probably is.
I think if I asked for a hug from Charles Barkley, I think he would give me a hug.
He probably would.
I don't know if he would give you a hug.
Yes. Melissa's got a good one. Cell phone, computer, camera in your pocket. Everything's in your pocket.
Well,
an organizer, a flashlight. Yeah, I mean,
computer. I was going to say
post office
landline, like how we use a telephone.
Yes.
When I was a child, if the phone rang, then because I have memories before answering machines. And so if the phone rang, then you ran to it almost excitedly and you answered it and you better answer it. And there was a notepad and there was a pen.
Yeah, we didn't need a pen.
You had to take down a message for somebody else.
It was such a big deal. You're like, oh, someone called for my dad. You remembered that because it was such a big deal. You didn't need to write it down.
Because it might be someone calling for your parents and it might be important or business related. Mm-hmm. You had to know how to properly answer the phone and listen and record notes and answer back. You had to have this very polite, and even as a child, have like a business-like exchange with this perfect stranger on the phone. And you better write down that number properly. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't, you were in trouble. And I didn't always, and I got in trouble. But then it became voicemail. Answering machines first with a tape in it, with an actual tape that you had to rewind. Mm-hmm. And that could actually fill up. If you were on vacation, and then I went to cell phones, and like we say, now kids think you're weird if you call, for one, and you better not call. If you call someone younger than me, then they think you're a freak. You better text them first to make sure it's okay to call, or else they're gonna like be completely weirded out.
My daughter was in high school. She got her first phone. It was an Xtel phone. She refused to answer the beep beep. Mm-hmm. She would not do the walkie-talkie. If I did that, she would text me back, what do you need?
Yeah.
To which I would struggle getting the text message. We were fighting about how to communicate with one another.
Yes.
We always got it worked out, but yeah, we'd fight about it. And then she got a new phone because one was broken, and within a week, somebody at school stepped on it and broke it. I'm like, I'm not paying for a new one. She read that screen sideways, upside down. She figured out how to do it, but she's like, Dad, I'm not paying for a new phone either.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So it just became a battle of wills for about 6 months.
It's real funny how important something becomes when it becomes the kid's responsibility to pay for it.
Yeah.
Because my kids will ask me for a lot of stuff. And the second I'm like, you got birthday money, you go for it. Like, oh, can we go out to dinner tonight? You taking us? You paying?
Ours is basketball shoes, right? Every time basketball season rolled around or summer basketball rolled around, kids are like, oh, I want those shoes. And we're like, you have this amount of money with which to buy shoes.
Mm-hmm.
If that's an extra $100, that's coming out of your account.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want those shoes. I'll take those.
Yeah.
You should have seen them backing up. Oh my gosh, they'd back up because it wasn't their money. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Next question.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite movie as a kid?
Favorite
movie as a kid. The first one I can remember, I'm sure there were Disney movies, right?
Uh-huh.
Which were all traumatic because some family member died.
Oh, it always was.
I mean, usually the dad too.
Disney was working through trauma.
I don't know who wrote those stories. Well, everyone was an orphan or about to become an orphan or...
So Walt Disney was raised in an abusive household and he ended up like saving his mom from his dad and the house that he built her burned down and killed her. So he had some trauma.
So I liked, I was more Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid I thought was good. I think my favorite one at the time was John Wayne, the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I loved it because they had all the young kids were on the cattle drive with them, and it was about growing up. The only bad thing is it was made in the 70s, and it had that creepy music that the 70s Westerns had, right? It's like, oh, we're going to go creepier. And Bruce Dern, I thought, did a great job playing the bad guy.
Who's Bruce Dern?
He was a runner who...
Is that Laura Dern's dad?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Hey.
And he was much smaller than John Wayne, but in the fight scene, he was supposed to beat John Wayne up.
Uh-huh.
It was hilarious. You're like, there's no way that guy's losing. Old Yeller. Melissa, I'm still crying over that.
It's hard.
I am still crying. Yeah, okay, Bob, you got to tell me which Tarzan movies.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Weissmuller, Gordon Scott, Ron Eli. I got to know which Tarzan, and there was at least one Tarzan who only did it once, but Gordon Scott had some good Tarzan movies, but they were more 70s stuff.
Princess Bride, I saw when I was, I think, in second grade. I think I saw it for the first time in second grade. And whenever I had a chance to rent a movie and there wasn't like a new movie I wanted to see, then I always rented Princess Bride because we didn't own it at that point. And so it drove my brother crazy. So he couldn't stand it. And then he went through puberty and learned that, hey, girls are kind of fun. So then he started liking the movie also. And he was the officiant at my wedding, and he started the wedding ceremony with the same lines as the vicar and Princess Bride.
Today we are here.
Marriage is what.
So what's funny about that is you're telling me you were in second grade. I remember taking my younger brother and sister to the movie when I was a senior in college, and that's when I saw the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently it had been out a long time before I got to go see it. Was one of the better. All right. Let's see. Let's do best. So there have been shows that have been long running shows.
Yeah.
They've been on the air a long time. And if you go back and rewatch them, there are tons of cameos in those shows. Mm-hmm. They're first starts for actors.
Yeah.
They're kind of an actor, actress that's really big and they'll kind of sneak into this TV show.
Mm-hmm.
When we were kids, it was never Gilligan's Island because there just wasn't enough visitors to the island, right?
That's right.
But you had a lot. Gunsmoke was one.
Okay.
You would look and see Burt Reynolds played in Gunsmoke. Mm-hmm. Dennis Weaver played in all these actors. You'd look at, oh my God, that guy made it huge years later. He was in Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke wasn't on TV when I was a kid.
It was still on. You just didn't know where to find it. It was on PBS whenever they did a tote bag drive. But it was
funded by people like you.
Yes, you can get this director's chair to watch Gunsmoke.
Yeah.
Not that the chair was comfortable. And the umbrella, which was somewhat helpful here in Florida. But Gunsmoke was one. Today, I think the one that probably has the most, because it was on for like 18 billion seasons, was Law and Order.
Mm-hmm.
You go look and you go, oh, there's Adam Driver. Oh, there's this actress. There's that actor.
On everybody's IMDb
credit. Yes. Yeah. One of the other was Love Boat back in the day. Mm-hmm. Right? Love Boat on Saturday night, you never knew. Usually it was Charo. Charo was on every cruise. She was on all of them.
So I don't watch TV anymore.
Yeah.
And so I don't know anything that's on right now. But I would say a more recent show would be Scrubs because it was a medical comedy.
Okay.
And so you always needed patients. Mm-hmm. And there were always side characters coming in and out. And so Brendan Fraser had a really fun guest.
Was he there for a weight problem?
No.
He got an Oscar for playing a bigger guy.
He did. It was before he gained the weight. So after back surgeries, but before he gained the weight for The Whale, which he did actually gain weight for that. People are mad at him for wearing a fat suit, but he did gain weight as well. But he was the...
It's called acting.
He was the brother of one of the mainstays on the show. And so Brendan Fraser would come in and out, and he had a tragic arc. So it was a very sweet cameo. But I would say Full House. As far as in my lifetime,
okay,
Full House had a ton of guest spots and characters that came in and out. And I have rewatched it with my kids now. And I'm like, oh, that's so-and-so, or that's, you know, who's what's or whatever. And so that's a good one.
Yeah, there's a lot of them you didn't recognize.
Yeah.
Like at the time, you're like, who is this?
At the time, they were
nobody. This actor's never going to make it. Six Academy Awards later. Oh, I remember him on whatever show.
Kurt Russell was in like 100 things before he was Kurt Russell.
He was the world's strongest man, thank you very much, in Disney.
He was on a lot.
You had to eat the cereal. If you didn't eat the cereal, you couldn't lift the weights.
I don't know.
It was one of the better ones. I thought that was one of his better movies. Yes.
Yeah, Friends was good.
Friends was good.
Bobby says Rifleman. The only reason I know Rifleman exists is because my parents almost bought the Rifleman table.
Yes.
From an antique store for their house when they moved here.
Was it a wagon wheel table or just a rifle?
It was not the wagon wheel coffee table.
The wagon wheel coffee table.
The wagon wheel coffee table.
We had a...
Twilight Zone's a good one.
Twilight Zone's a really good one. Perry Mason, Columbo, all of those. I'll turn them on for like 30 seconds to see who the guest is.
The boy was in Gunsmoke?
Yes, he was.
That's wild.
I'm going to look that up. Yes, 100%. All these guys were in this stuff. Yeah. All right. Favorite place to eat as a kid. Favorite place to eat as a kid. So we had lots of places here. Friday night was either Barrancata's on Volano, which we had to cross the bridge to get food, or Osteen's. Mm-hmm. So those were kind of the two. But my favorite, I think at the time, my Uncle Jim had a magic, I can't remember the chef, Chef Burgers or whatever. It was something. It was a franchise at the time. It didn't go away, but he had it in Lake City, and then some of the best French fries.
Yeah.
And that was a really, really cool place to eat. And so for me, it was probably the original burger places, right? Were really, really cool.
Yeah.
As a kid, if we're going to get a hamburger and French fries, I'm good to go.
So I was very picky eater. I still am a pretty picky eater. And so my favorite place to go as a kid, like a young kid, was Ryan's. Because it was this entire buffet,
yes.
And it was just go fill up your plate. And so nobody stuck next to me, and I could put whatever I wanted. And so I'd have like a little pile of bacon bits and a little pile of shredded cheese and a little pile of croutons and some ranch dressing. And there was always ice cream at the end. And so that's where I always wanted to go. Or Red Lobster for the cheddar bay biscuits.
Burger Chef. I think Burger Chef was
Burger Chef?
Burger Chef was. It was a little small franchise. Mm-hmm. They actually had one here, I think, before they had a McDonald's here.
Yeah.
It was right down the street. We were good. We could go down there and get Burger Chef dinner for 59 cents.
Nice.
I don't know. I mean, it was probably less than that.
So that means my poor parents paid an all-you-can-eat buffet for me so that I could eat a tiny little pile of shredded cheese and bacon bits.
I had the all-you-eat. The Piccadilly was up in, it was an all-you-can-eat buffet or the buffet.
I've been to a Piccadilly.
It was in Regency Square Mall.
Yeah. Right?
When Regency Square Mall was the place. It was in the middle of nowhere. You had to go all the way up there. And I would always get the green Jell-O. But I always would eat so much, I couldn't eat the green Jell-O. And then I get in trouble for not eating the green Jell-O because I had to pay extra for the green Jell-O. It didn't come with the meal for free. And if you were going to put it on your plate, you had to eat it.
Oh, no.
It was like 25 cents. Do you know how much money that was back then? It was like $400 for green Jell-O.
Piccadilly was like a cafeteria, so you had to go through the line. So yeah, they charged you, but like it was just a flat plate fee at Ryan's, and then you just walked through. And I remember going to them before the sneeze guards. I remember when the sneeze guards showed up. Mm-hmm. I was like, why is there a glass dome over my food?
Yes.
We've got Dairy Queen, Seafair on Anastasia Boulevard, White Castle, Tasty Freeze, S&W Cafeteria with the grandparents, says Bobby.
After church.
We would always go to Red Lobster with my dad's mom after church.
Red Lobster here was like forbidden.
Yeah.
If you went to Red Lobster here, you got excommunicated from Osteen's and all the other places for like months. You would like walk up to her. We saw him at Red Lobster. You're not going to feed him. You're not going to give him St. Augustine shrimp. Send him away.
But I'm the person that goes to Red Lobster just for the Cheddar Bay biscuits. And I always order the pasta with no seafood because I don't like seafood.
Oh, my goodness. It was. People would rat you out. I saw him at the Red Lobster. So, he's not allowed to go into Barnacle Bill's, Osteen's, or Schooner's for the next year.
We had to evict Isabella, so I was put on, like, no food after a certain, I think it was midnight or 10 o'clock or something. I couldn't eat anymore. And then we had to be at the hospital by, like, 4:45 or 5 in the morning. And so I'm hungry going into the hospital.
Yeah.
She's crazy late, so I'm huge and pregnant and hungry, and we drive past Red Lobster to get to Flagler Hospital.
Yes.
I was like, when I can eat again, someone better bring me Cheddar Bay biscuits or I'm gonna be so mad. And so my father-in-law did dutifully deliver a bag of Cheddar Bay biscuits, and so I was like, here's the baby, Louie.
Here's the baby. My
hot bag of Cheddar Bay biscuits.
So where do you go? All right, really quickly, TV show that has not been rebooted that you wished would be rebooted?
None. I hate reboots.
Really?
Yep.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. If it's over, it's over. Move on.
I'm waiting for Wild Wild West to come back.
The Will Smith movie?
No, the Will Smith movie ruined almost all of it. It was a great series back in the day, and they completely ruined it. And it wasn't Will Smith's fault. No. I mean, it was just a horrible script.
There was one producer in particular that I heard is the reason why there was a giant metal spider.
It was
tried to put it in numerous movies and gotten kiboshed.
It was a horrible script.
Yeah.
You had decent acting, Kevin Kline, and you had Will Smith.
So
you had, even the bad guy wasn't a bad actor. You had a horrible script. Horrible.
I loved Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman to the point that I've rewatched it. Same with Frasier. They're rebooting both of them, and I'm nauseated. Don't ruin the thing that I love. Let it be.
Oh, you're not going to like this news.
And Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman's going to be some crazy feminist that's performing like back alley abortions in the Wild West. And I don't even want to know.
It's worse than that.
It's
they just announced a reboot last week. I was going to save it for Frasier's for trivia.
Frasier's getting rebooted, right?
Elizabeth Warren's going to play Medicine Woman Quinn.
She was the white woman. Your joke doesn't work.
I'm just kidding.
She could be like Sully's sister or something, but she was a white woman.
Your phone is exploding.
It is exploding.
All right. We'll be gone. We got lots of good guests this week and next week.
Yay.
I went to the farmer's market and picked up guests. I have no idea who they are, but I have their numbers and they may show up.
Yay.